Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
The city of Vienna in the late 19th century was alive with contradictions. Waltzes spun in glittering ballrooms, yet political unrest simmered in streets. Scholars debated philosophy, while painters broke with tradition. Into this complex world walked a man with a heavy brow, a full beard, and eyes that seemed always to peer inward. He was modest in dress, blunt in speech, gruff even, but when he sat at the piano, his hands produced music of depth and grandeur, music that seemed to carry the weight of centuries yet speak directly to the heart. This was Johannes Brahms, a composer who bore the burden of Beethoven's legacy, who was hailed and doubted in equal measure, who struggled for decades before unveiling his first symphony, and who became in time one of the central figures of the Romantic century. Brahms was born in 1833 in Hamburg, a seaport bustling with commerce, sailors, and music of all kinds. His father, a double bass player, was of humble means, and his mother much older, a seamstress by trade. The family lived modestly, but Johannes showed early talent. He played piano in taverns as a boy to help support them, sometimes in places less than respectable. Out of this rough beginning, he developed resilience, discipline, and an ear for both high art and folk melody. By his teens, he was performing brilliantly, admired for both his technical prowess and his sensitivity. A turning point came in 1853 when the violinist Joseph Joachim introduced him to Robert and Clara Schumann in Düsseldorf. Robert, already declining into illness, was electrified by Brahms's talent. In the pages of his Neue Zeitschrift für Musik, Schumann proclaimed Brahms the long-awaited heir to Beethoven, the one destined to carry forward the great tradition. The praise was both blessing and curse. At 20, Brahms was declared the future of German music. For the rest of his life, he labored under the shadow of Beethoven's 9 symphonies, terrified of disappointing the prophecy. Brahms became close to the Schumanns. After Robert's confinement in an asylum, Johannes supported Clara, herself a great pianist and composer, raising her children, offering companionship. Their relationship was deep, perhaps romantic though never formalized. Clara was muse, critic, confidant. Brahms adored her, yet remained unmarried all his life. His music often seems addressed to her, tender, ardent, filled with longing. In the 1850s and 60s, Brahms honed his craft with chamber works, piano pieces, and songs. His early piano sonatas are massive, ambitious, seeking to rival Beethoven's. His string sextets, piano quartets, and Hungarian dances, arrangements of folk themes, show his range from serious to spirited. His German Requiem, 1868, brought him international acclaim. Unlike traditional Latin requiems, this was not a mass for the dead, but a meditation in the German language, using Luther's Bible. Its message was comfort for the living. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. With expansive choral writing and luminous orchestration, the Requiem established Brahms as a major composer, one who could blend spiritual depth with musical mastery. Yet the symphony eluded him. For years he wrote and destroyed drafts, unsatisfied. He confessed to friends that he felt the giant's footsteps behind him. You have no idea how it feels to hear such a giant marching along behind you. Finally, in 1876, at age 43, he unveiled his Symphony No. 1 in C minor. Critics immediately dubbed it Beethoven's 10th. It begins with a pounding, tragic introduction, unfolds with rigor and passion, and ends in a finale where a noble theme rises, reminiscent of Beethoven's Ode to Joy, yet distinctly Brahms's own. The relief was immense. He had faced Beethoven's ghost and emerged with his own voice. Brahms went on to compose three more symphonies, each a masterpiece. The Second Symphony in D major is pastoral, sunny, often called his pastoral in contrast to the dark first. The Third Symphony in F major is compact, noble, its third movement a haunting intermezzo beloved even by non-classical listeners. The Fourth Symphony in E minor is his summit, its finale a passacaglia built on a Baroque ground bass, weaving 30 variations into a towering structure. Here Brahms unites past and present, old forms with romantic intensity. It is both archaic and modern, tragic and triumphant. Alongside the symphonies, Brahms enriched nearly every genre. His concertos are monumental. The Piano Concerto No. 1 in D minor, written in his 20s, stormy and titanic. The Second Piano Concerto, vast and symphonic. The Violin Concerto in D major, composed for Joachim, lyrical and brilliant. The Double Concerto for Violin and Cello, a late work blending power and intimacy. His chamber music is among the greatest ever written. The Piano Quintet in F minor, the Clarinet Quintet, the String Quartets, the Horn Trio. Each combines structural rigor with emotional depth. His solo piano works, from late intermezzi to rhapsodies, reveal an inward, autumnal voice, intimate confessions in sound. Brahms's songs are treasures of romantic leader. He set poetry with sensitivity, his melodies entwined with piano accompaniments of rich character. Wiegenlied, his lullaby, is sung to children everywhere, but behind its simplicity lies mastery. His love songs, the Liebeslieder Walzer, for voices and piano four hands, are full of charm. His late songs, written when he thought of death, are serene, consoling. Personally, Brahms was complicated, outwardly gruff. He cultivated the image of a blunt bachelor, fond of cigars, beer, and jokes. He teased, provoked, sometimes hurt friends with his sharp tongue. Yet beneath the exterior was warmth, generosity, loyalty. He supported younger composers, gave money to struggling musicians, remained devoted to Clara Schumann until her death. He lived modestly in Vienna, his apartment cluttered with books and scores. He never sought luxury, though his fame brought wealth. In his later years, Brahms contemplated retirement, feeling out of step with a world moving toward Wagnerian excess and the bold colors of new generations. Yet the sound of the clarinet inspired him anew. Meeting the clarinetist Richard Mühlfeld, he composed a series of late chamber works, the Clarinet Trio, Quintet, and Sonatas. These pieces, warm and autumnal, are among his most beloved, filled with nostalgia yet serenity. They show Brahms at peace, his voice tender, wise, resigned. Brahms died in 1897, at 63, from cancer. At his funeral in Vienna, thousands gathered. He was laid to rest near Beethoven and Schubert, the lineage complete. He had begun life the son of a humble musician in Hamburg and ended as one of the giants of German music. His legacy is immense. He preserved classical forms while infusing them with romantic expression. He resisted the radicalism of Wagner and Liszt, yet his music is anything but conservative. It is passionate, rigorous, timeless. He kept the flame of tradition alive while expanding its reach. He was both heir and innovator, standing at the crossroads of past and future. What makes Brahms a giant is his balance. He reconciled intellect and emotion, structure and freedom. His symphonies are cathedrals of sound, his chamber works intimate confessions, his songs whispers of love and sorrow. He reminds us that music is not only revolution, but continuity, not only storm, but strength. Listen to Brahms and you hear solidity, depth, humanity. You hear Beethoven's inheritance, Schumann's dreams, folk dances transformed into art, late night introspection turned into melody. You hear the 19th century wrestling with itself, seeking roots even as it reached for new skies. You hear a man who doubted himself, feared failure, but gave the world music of permanence. Johannes Brahms remains the keeper of the flame, the man who proved that tradition and innovation can live together, that depth need not reject beauty, that the human heart speaks as powerfully in restraint as in excess. He stands as one of the pillars of music, his voice resonant, his presence enduring. Produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory,